Bible. The wrong slide is probably going to come on the back. And turn to Matthew chapter 18. Chapter 28, verse 18. We're going to start a new part of our series. Of course, we've been working through Thrive, and you know we worked our way through Nehemiah, and it took several weeks to get through part of Nehemiah. Now we come to the mission statement of the church, and I want to be real clear with this, because as we get together as church, we need to know what we're here for. You know what I mean? If you don't know what you're here for, a lot of times you just kind of gather and leave, and you come back together and leave, and you don't really know. There's a mission statement behind it. There is a purpose and a meaning of why we meet, of why we come together as brothers and sisters in Christ as a church in our community. And Matthew 28, 18 through 20 gives us that mission statement. Now, you can look through websites, and you go to churches, and you can hear them. They all got these cool sayings, and they got these neat mottos, and they, you know, they sound really cool and everything, but really there's only been one mission statement for the church. And that mission statement came from Jesus Christ himself. And, you know, we've studied the story of Easter, and we saw how Christ is buried, and he was resurrected, and he came back. Last week, we saw him ministering to Peter, and ministering to Mary, and ministering to Doubting Thomas. And now we see him coming to his last words. It's possibly the last words Christ spoke to his disciples and spoke to you and to me. And it's very important for us to get that. Some have called this the Great Commission. And I'm afraid we've made it the great omission as church, right? Because a lot of times we lose the focus of why we come together. And so, you know, in the 80s, which is really a cool part of time, right? And, you know, many people think that I'm still stuck in the 80s sometimes. And Hunter asked me earlier if I worked at Publix. Can you believe that? Do I look like I've been working at Publix today? I guess because of the brain and some of the others. So, as much as I give it to people, I get it back, trust me. And so, you know, think about the 80s, it had some really cool times. And one of the things that was cool in that area, in that time period, was people came up with these company sayings, you know, these company statements. And I remember one of them was Walmart. Walmart was pretty cool. They said, to give ordinary folks a chance to buy the same thing as rich people. That was a Walmart statement. And then also Disney World, to make people happy. Good luck with that one, right? Hey, if you can make people happy, you're much better than Disney World, right? Also, Nike had it pretty cool, and they just had two words, Crush Reebok. That was their mission statement, just a Crush Reebok. And, you know, you think about it, as you look to the church, how about our mission statement? What is it? Well, we see it, Matthew 28, 18 through 20. We're going to read the whole thing, and then we're going to go back and just take a look at the very first part. It says in verse 18, "Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely, I am with you always to the very end of the age." And, you know, this portion of Scripture, like I said, is known as the Great Commission. And as you know, Christ is coming. He's there. He's given his last words. Like I said, and this morning I just want to come to the very first scripture of this. The very first scripture, Christ immediately says, all authority has been given to me. Now the word authority here means a right or a granted power, access. And, you know, one thing I've learned about authority in my life is that I love to have authority, but I really am not so much when people have authority over me. Have you realized that? You know, like I get to work in some neighborhoods and have a little security guard gate. And you pull up there and they give you the fifth degree and ask your driver's license, where are you going to go? How are you going to do this? What are you going to do there? I'm like, are you writing a book? Like, I am legal and I know where I'm going. I'm going to go in here. But they have the authority to grant me access or to not grant me access. And you go to a store and without fail, you buy something and it's broke and you take it back and you find that one person in the return department you don't want to see. Like Josh used to be in Dick's Sporting Goods. You go there and they're sitting there and they look at you and they begin to look at your receipt. They begin to look at the time you bought it. What did you exactly do with it? And yet they have the authority to grant you, they have the authority to grant you either to turn it back in to give you another one or give your money back. They have the authority. They have the right. They have the access because someone has given it to them. Well, Jesus comes and he's telling his disciples, listen, I'm here, and I'm telling you, all authority has been given to me. It's me. I got it. Now, when you think about this, it's rather interesting because, you know, in eternity, you had God the Father, you had God the Son, you had God the Holy Spirit dwelling in unity as a Trinity. But what we don't realize when Christ came to this earth, the addition of the man, the God-man, the addition of Christ on the earth that walked this earth. And he paid the price. He lived the life that you and I could not live. He died the death we deserve. He was resurrected. And now he's coming back. And he's saying, listen, me, the earthly man, God, not just the Son of God, but the Son of God and man, the Son of God, the God-man. He's saying, I'm telling you, the Father has given me all authority. Everything has been given to me, meaning I have the authority of God. I have the authority of all authorities. I have everything in my hands, and it has been given to me. Not to anyone else, but to me. All of it. And you think about the authority that God had, or that Christ has. Listen to what Colossians 1, verses 15 through 20 says about Jesus. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For all things in heaven and on earth were created by him. All things, whether visible or invisible, whether thrones or dominions, whether principalities or powers, all things are created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and all things are held together in him. He is the head of the body, the church, as well as the beginning, the firstborn from among the dead, so that he himself may become first in all things. For God was pleased to have his fullness dwell in the Son, and through him to reconcile all things to himself. He made peace through the blood of his cross, through him, whether things on earth or things in heaven. Now think about it. Think about the authority of Jesus. He said, all not only has been given to me, but in heaven or earth, under all these things, everything, all part of the authority has been given him. Now think about this, in heaven, not one angel has authority over Jesus Christ in heaven. Not one angel. Not one archangel of Michael, of Gabriel. You read some of the scripture and you see some of the power that they had. Not one angel. Jesus is not just another angel. Jesus wasn't like a higher power man. Not one prophet that's in heaven has rights over Jesus. Not Abraham. Not Isaac. Not Moses. No one. Not one person in heaven has the authority over Jesus Christ. He has authority over every cherubim, every spiritual being, every bit of anything spiritual in heaven. He says, I have full authority over that. Not only in heaven, but on earth. He says, I have over here on earth, I have it over everything. Jesus has the authority over Donald Trump. Or President Trump. He has authority over every ruler, every king. He has authority over anything on the face of this earth. He has authority over denominational leaders. He has authority over pastors. He has authority over any man, any female, anything ever born of earth. He has authority or granted power over them. There is nothing or no one can tell Jesus what he can and what he can't do. He is the authority in heaven and earth, even under the earth. Think about it. You know, a lot of times I think we think Jesus and the devil are battling it out. And we're watching this war, and who's going to win? Is the devil going to win, or is Jesus going to win? Let me tell you, Jesus has all authority over the devil. It's not a battle. It's not something that's going to, you got to watch this thing play out. Jesus has authority. He's already been led. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, those in heaven, those on earth, and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I love that. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess. And listen, as we look to Jesus Christ, we say, why does he get to set the rules? Because he is the master. He is the king. He is the greatest of all. He is God himself. And listen, when he speaks, we should listen. I was clowning around with my mom and dad a couple weeks. My kids have been dying laughing at those. But we knew that mom had authority, and she had about as authority as much as she could grab us by her ear or hit us with her shoe. Now, my kids don't believe she can be like that, but I've seen the real grandma. That's what I tell them. You see the nice grandma. I've seen the real grandma. Okay? I've seen her, right? And she had authority, but every once in a while, we'd get to carry away because when we got bigger, we knew it could only hurt so much, it hurt so bad. Then she would drop that line. You wait till your dad gets consequences going to happen in that house. And we knew that he has authority over everything. And he has authority over everything, all things ever of earth or heaven. And he comes, he said, listen, this is my authority to you. I'm speaking to you. Don't you think we should listen? Don't you think we as Christians or people should look and say, what does this Christ have to say? What is his message? What is his mission?
What should we hear from him? He's saying, listen, I have come and I've done this because we went this before with Easter. He's the only one who could have done this. He qualified himself to be the ruler, to be the authority, that he is it. And listen, so many times as Christians and so many times as churches, we call ourselves Christians and we call ourselves under the blood of Christ and we love to talk about Jesus, but we have a real problem making master or ruler of our lives. See, he don't want to just come in. He wants to come in and take over. Listen, the message of the gospel is not just come and be who you are and get saved from your sin and live the way that you want. No. The message is we are sinners and we have failed. We've made a mess of our life. Come to Jesus. Let him take your life. Let him take over. He will change you. He will make you something. Let him be the authority in your life. Meaning when you talk about being a wife, you do it as Christ wants you to be the wife. You do it as a husband, not just the way you want to be a husband, but he has the authority to tell you how to be a godly husband. He has the authority to tell you how to live, what to do, and the mission you should have in life. And for us personally, when we come to Christ, we must respond to him first and foremost with faith. With faith. Listen, there's nothing we can add to the message of Jesus Christ. It says, for by grace have you been saved through faith. You didn't say faith and works. Works come later. But it's faith first, by faith alone. And I'm afraid so many of us come to Christ and we want to add something to Jesus. When you add something to Jesus, you lose it all. When you take something away from Jesus, you lose it all. And you come to him in faith. You come to him with trust. You come to him with repentance. You come to him and say, Jesus, I'm trusting in you completely and totally. I'm responding to you as my master, as my savior, as my Lord, in complete faith. I love the acrostic faith. I've learned this when I was a kid and never forget it. Forsaking all, I trust him. Forsaking all, I trust him. And when we come to Jesus Christ, we lay it all down at his feet and we say, Jesus, I'm trusting in you 100%. I have total faith in you. Amen. Listen, so many times in our life we have sinking faith. We have doubting faith. We have trial faith. We have emergency faith. You know, like when something happens, all of a sudden we believe in Jesus real quick. You know? Like if you've ever met someone who doesn't believe in God, get them on an airplane, watch that thing start going down, and everybody's going to get saved, right? Everybody's going to believe in God. But listen, the faith that we should have in Christ is one that comes to him first and foremost and gives him everything. Trust, complete surrender, complete faith in him. We respond by faith and surrender. Listen, God, this is my will. And I'm putting it at your faith. Let it be your will be done in my life. So what picture did we see that in Christ? You remember him in the Garden of Gethsemane? He looks to Christ, to God. He said, God, let this cup pass from me. Let it pass from me. He was looking at the passion of the cross. He was looking at the pain. He was looking at the separation from Christ, from God. He was looking at all the pain he was going to go through in that cup. He looked as sin was going to take over his life or be bestowed upon him. What did he say? Not my will, but your will be done. Your will be done. And he completely surrendered his will to him. And listen, you might have a will for your life, but I'm going to tell you, no will is going to be as great as God's will for your life. Listen, it won't be the easiest path. Listen, I'm not saying you come to Christ and you're going to make lots of money and you're going to have a great health and you're going to have great wealth and everything's always going to be great. There will be times of that, but there will be seasons of trials. There will be seasons of persecution. There will be seasons of times in your life where you're going to have to pay the price for being a Christian. It comes with it. It comes with the deal. That's part of who you are as a Christian, as part of life. And yet, as we come to our will or his will, when we get to the end of God's will, we know there's a promise there. We know there's a promise there that everything in your life is not wasted. That you don't get cancer, you don't get sick, you don't have trouble with your child, or you don't have things on this earth that doesn't make sense, and you don't come to them and say, they just don't make any sense, they just really don't matter. No. With God, all things matter. And we know that no matter what we go through, they're not good, but the promise is that he will work them to good. That he will work them to good for his glory. And there's a far exceeding glory we could ever see on this earth. And when we surrender to him, we say, God, I want your will for my life. It's going to be hard. It will be tough sometimes, but I surrender to you. I want your will done in my life. I want your way. I want you to rule and reign in my life. Complete surrender. And listen, he told the disciples straight up front, if any man desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Listen, it's not a secret. And for you and for me, that's the call that comes from this Christ. That's the call that comes from you personally. That's the call that comes to this church. Listen, do you think that we just came together by accident or by chance? No. Listen, when you come to Christ, you surrender your heart and faith in Him. He gives you a message. He gives you a burden. He gives you a purpose in life to get involved with His mission. And He's saying, I got this mission on full authority. I have it all. It's from me. And it's been given to me. And He tells us, therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations. He's going to give us a mission. Question is, are you going to embrace that mission? Are you going to run from that mission? Or are you going to ignore that mission? Listen, as a Christian, you're going to do one of the three because you can't get away from it. You can't get away from the fact that He has called us to do something. And as a church, He's called us to reach and to teach. Now listen, I get it. It's hard. It's hard sometimes to witness. It's hard to tell people about Christ. Sometimes you don't feel like it. Sometimes you're not going to feel it. And sometimes I'm ashamed. I've said this before. Sometimes I see my neighbors outside. I want to slip back in the garage because I know they're going to say, I got this grout that fell out of my shower. I want you to come over. I know you're a title man. It would take you 10 minutes. You know what that means? I don't want to pay for it, but I know it would take you 10 minutes. It won't take nothing. Like, I'll make you a cup. Well, I got a wife that can cook. I don't need anything. I don't need those things. But listen, you've got to take time to get to know people. You got to spend time at the ball fields talking to people, not just there to watch a football game. Get interested in their life so that you can share Christ with them. At the school meetings. Listen, get to know people so you can share Christ with them. At wherever you are, it doesn't matter. It doesn't have to happen in these four walls. The churches, as we go, as we're going out, we're going to talk more about this, but as we go, we should be, as we're going, as Christ said, we surrender Him, have a purpose, have a meaning, know there has been a mission given. That we don't come together and aim wondrously and wander through this life aimlessly. We have a mission, we have a direction, and it comes from the authority of Jesus Christ. He says, listen, even heaven, in hell, in earth, no one has the authority over me. No one. And listen, you know what's so cool about that is we know the promise that we have. And listen, this is where we got our church name from, Matthew 16:18, the confidence that we should have. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against that. Man, what a promise. What a promise. He says there is nothing that can destruct it. Because upon this confession of Christ, upon the profession or the proclamation of Jesus being Christ, that He says, I will build my church. It's not my church. A lot of people say, oh, your people, your church, your stuff. No, it's not mine. I'm just here as a servant. I'm just here because God called me and He sent me. He says to come point to Him as His church. It's His people. This is His mission. This is His building, amen. His property, His stuff, and He's opening these doors, and we get to be a part of it. Is that cool? We get to be a part of it. We get to see God work. We get to see Him move. We get to have purpose and meaning in life, and we get to see the truth, and we get to see the truth of God's Word, that nothing shall prevail against it. Nothing. There's nothing that will take down the mission of God. There's nothing that's ever going to come and overcome that. We have the authority of Christ Himself, and He's given the mission. He's given us the confidence. And we must surrender and be obedient to His command. That's what it calls it. Who's the authority in your life? Who set your schedule for the day? You know, Josh said something interesting in Sunday school. He said, I write in my Bible things marked with orange that I don't understand. And during the day, if I have time, he said, no, wait a minute. If I make time. Because listen, you know who sets the direction of your schedule and your time? You do. You follow me around, I'm going to make time to eat. I'm just not going to miss a minute. Because there's no way. I hear people say all the time, I was talking to this lady, she was like, I'm so busy today, I forgot to eat lunch. I was like, how do you forget to eat lunch? It just doesn't happen. You know what I mean? Like, we're going to eat lunch. Right? We're going to have something to eat. Like, you don't forget to eat lunch. You don't forget to do those things. You make time for those things, right? You make time for those things. And how many times do we say we don't have time, but we sit down and watch 2.5-hour movie? Or we say we don't have time. We watch Orlando Magic play a playoff game. Oh, they're not in the playoffs. That's right. I forgot. 19 years in a row and never made it to a playoff. That's beside the point. He got to go on vacation this week, so I got to pick on him somewhere. Right? So you make time to watch ball games. You make time to do things. But we don't make time for God's mission. We don't make time for what the Master's told us to do. We don't make time for Him to do those things in our life. We set our schedule. We set our checkbook, too. Listen, we set what we give our stuff to. Listen, the things that we spend money on, the things that we do, the things that we put in our lives, if they're not eternal, what value is it? Listen, I know what it takes to live. I live, I make the money, I go out, I work for a living. I pay our house payment, I pay our car payments, I pay those things. I know what it costs. I know what it costs, I know what it takes, but I also know that in that I cannot neglect what God has called me to give. When He tells me to give, I must give. When He tells me to give, I must give. When He tells me to help someone, I must help them. When He tells me to be a part of the kingdom or do those things, I don't have a choice. And when you look at your schedule, you can tell who's the authority in your life. When you look at your checkbook, you can tell who the authority in your life. When you look at how you spend your talents, what do you do with how God has given you this gift? Because listen, every one of us got a gift. Some of you may be like me, you got one gift. But He says, as each one has received the Spirit, he has received a gift for the church. Meaning that He's giving you something you can use to serve the body of Christ. And each one of us, you can come every week, or you can come every day, or maybe encouragement. It may be generosity. It may be, it may be someone to pray with. It may be teaching. It may be being with the kids. Whatever it may be, you take that gift and you use it for the Lord, and you look and see, how am I using what God has given me for His kingdom? How am I using God's gift to serve the church? Listen, a lot of people take and make a lot of money with it. A lot of people do a lot of great things in this world. A lot of people do a lot of things with God's gift is given, and then neglect to use it in the church. They neglect to use it in the kingdom. Don't be one of those. Listen, who's the authority in your life? Who sets your checkbook? Who sets your schedule? Who sets how you use your talent? That will give you a good idea of who's the authority in your life. And listen, if you come up with anything other than Jesus Christ, guess what? You got the wrong authority. You are following after either yourself or someone else or something else that has derailed you off of your mission. And listen, when we as a church get off our mission, guess what? We ain't going to get the blessings of God. He's not going to give us His power. He's not going to give us His presence. He's not going to give us His presence. He's not going to give us His provision. And the same is true in your life. When you get off God's will in your life, you're going to run into some thorns. You're going to run into some thistles. You're going to run into some problems and areas in your life, and you know deep down in your heart, you can explain it away, but you know eating away, you say, and you know you're not doing what God has called you to do. You know you're not. And listen, but when we do, there's no greater confidence to know that you're right in the middle of God's will. You are serving Him. You have that peace. You have that contentment. And you know you're marching on and being a part of something that can never fail. Never fail. That it will prevail. It will come to pass. And when you line up with Jesus and you come under His authority, you get His power and you get His blessing. That's what I want in my life. I hope you want that in your life too. We want His power and His presence and His blessings. And when you let Him be the authority, that's what He's promised. And for us as a church, if we do that and we get in God's will and we're under His authority, we get His power, we get His presence, and we get His blessings in our church. And that's what I want you to pray for. That's the challenge for you this morning. Take a look. Take a look and examine your life. Examine your schedule. Examine your checkbook. Examine your talent. Examine what God has for your life and the mission you are on and how He has used you or how you are being used by Him, and make sure you're lined up with God and Christ as your authority. Let's pray together.